Just a few more days, and 2014 shall end. Just a few more days, we shall enter into 2015, a completely new year. We have just celebrated Christmas and the first advent of Christ. We learned that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have eternal life. To have Jesus Christ is to have eternal life. Yes, Christmas is about Jesus Christ, our Savior. And to continue meditating on this holy subject, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, I am drawn to the vision of the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. Can you turn with me to the book of Revelation chapter 1 and keep your finger there? Do not close it. My aim this morning is for us to gaze upon Jesus, to see him not as a helpless babe in the manger in Bethlehem, not as a sorrowing servant wearing a crown of thorns, but as the Son of Man who walks among the candlesticks, now the Lord of glory. Yes, I pray that we will see his glory and majesty this morning. I wish to arouse all of you to praise, to adore, and to worship him. We need to see him in his full glory. To behold his glory, we will be transformed, like what Paul says, to be like him. And I pray that new lifers, you, will be changed from grace to grace, from faith to faith, and from glory to glory. If you read the chapter 1 of Revelation, you understand that John the Apostle has been exiled on the island of Patmos. It is a very tiny island in the Aegean Sea, southwest of Ephesus and between Asia Minor and Greece. And the reason he was put into prison was because he spoke up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, if you look at verse 9, he says, I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in this isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. When you are in exile, you are stripped of everything. He has lost everything, his home, his church, his family, his friends, his comfort, and even his freedom. Now he's alone in that far away place. Stripped of everything for the testimony of Christ, how would you feel if you were in John's place? Perhaps you feel you have self-pity. Perhaps you have regret. Or maybe you are angry. There may be you may feel shocked or even frustrated. But I'm sure for the Apostle John, who loves the Lord dearly, I believe that there is no regret or self-pity. Indeed, this persecution is an honor. For the Lord counted him worthy to suffer on his behalf. It gives testimony of his faithfulness and loyalty to Christ. Nothing is too great. A sacrifice for his beloved Lord. Why? The other apostles, his brethren, they all have been martyred. And it was, the tradition has it that even Peter felt that it was not worthy for him to be crucified upright, so he asked to be crucified upside down. The other apostles have given their lives for Christ, but God, in his grace, kept him alive to his old age. And there was a reason. It is to receive this end time vision, the book of Revelation, in order to pass to us. So John is not lonely or is not lost. When he looks at the world, he knows. You don't look for answers to the world. He knows that all the shining, all the bright lights, they are all false. They don't satisfy. All the riches and gold, they do not satisfy. If you are a believer, your gaze should be upward. So he is not lost or lonely. In spite of the bleak days on Patmos, God came to him in a vision on the Lord's Day, and God gave him the tremendous revelation recorded in this last book of the Bible. And the purpose of this vision is to encourage and strengthen him. And the message is very simple. Jesus Christ is coming back again. I repeat, Jesus Christ is coming back again. Christ is revealing to him the events which will take place immediately before, during, and following his second coming to earth. And he is to faithfully record what he sees and hears in the book to be passed to other believers so that they may share in the vision and revelation of God. In verse 19, it says this, "Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter." We now have in our hand the very details of this vision, faithfully recorded for our study and edification. Indeed, there is a promise of blessing to those who read and keep his word in obedience. So this morning, before the old year closes, let us behold Jesus Christ. Let us gaze upon him and see his glory. Write what you see. John is to faithfully record what he sees and hears. This is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. This close-up view of Jesus, who was, who is, and who is to come, is meant primarily for the seven churches in Asia. However, it is also written for us too. John wants to transmit his experience with God to the readers. How do we gaze upon Jesus Christ today? Yes, we have the church. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit. But the primary means of gazing upon the Lord Jesus is through the written word of God. From the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, God has showed us who this Jesus is and what he has done. So the best way, the only way that we can gaze upon the Lord Jesus Christ is through the written word. If we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, I shall read for you. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. There is a wonderful promise here which we can claim. And that promise is that the more we study the Word of God, the more we look at Jesus Christ, the more we seek in faith to understand Him, to obey Him, the promise is that we will be changed from glory to glory. We will be changed to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. God's glory is for Him alone. God's glory is manifested in His Son. We are to be changed not more and more like Elder Sim, not more and more like so-and-so, but more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope and I pray that all new lifers will have this desire to make 2015 a year of difference, a year of change. Before, I have no desire to be like Jesus Christ, but 2015, yes, I want to gaze upon Him and I want to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says here, the key is by the Holy Spirit. God has given us the Holy Spirit. It is only through the Holy Spirit that He can empower us to obey Him and to do His will. What John saw, who is this Jesus Christ that you know? What is He like? The day will come when we all will go to heaven, isn't it? And we'll be surprised because, hey, I didn't expect this, you know? He's so different. I didn't know that. He's like this or he's like that. We will be amazed because the Bible says we will see Him as He is. And I'm quite sure we will be shocked. We will be marveled. You know, we will marvel and really will bow down out of fear. We will be trembling because He's so glorious. He's so majestic. He's so holy and pure. He's so wise. He's so brilliant. He's so bright. Words, I think, fail to describe, but here we have a glimpse, all right, from the human perspective. What is He like? So the first thing which John saw was this description, the Son of Man. In the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like the Son of Man, John tells us that Christ is in our midst. Do you believe that? The Bible says, and Jesus Himself confirmed, where two or three are gathered in His name, He is in the midst of us. Do you believe that? If Christ is walking amongst us, what do you think you will be interested in? How's the stock market? How are your children working and doing, you know? Is your promotion coming? Have you scored an A yet? It is something to think about, isn't it? If we can see Christ moving amongst us, we'll be more careful, right? With our thoughts, with our words, and even with our actions. If we respect the president and a VIP, what more when we come to worship? Should we not respect the Lord Jesus by giving Him the worship, the honor, and the glory really, really to be silent before the Lord so that we can hear what is teaching us. So Jesus is among the churches. He's not far away in some outer space or time. He moves among his candlesticks, trimming the wicks and carving wax, breathing life back into flickering flames. The phrase Son of Man was Jesus' earthly title. It refers to his humanity and humility. If you turn to Daniel chapter 7, reading from verses 13 to 14, I shall read for you. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. There are two persons here. One, the Ancient of Days, which is none other than God the Father. Then you have the Son of Man. Here is Jesus coming to receive what he came to earth to do, right? To obtain the mandate, the authority. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He is now the King of Kings, and he is the Lord of Lords, and he has a kingdom, an everlasting kingdom, a kingdom that will not be destroyed. And the kingdom, who are the subjects? The subject is you and I. If you are a child of God, you are in that kingdom. And what do you think Jesus wants his subjects to be? Jesus wants his subjects to be like the Lord Jesus, pure and holy, blameless, and a good witness for the kingdom of God. So we need to see Jesus as the one who stands among the churches. He trims our wicks and fans our flames. He received from God the Father dominion and glory and power and kingdom over all rule and power and authority in heaven and on earth. He has everlasting dominion, and his kingdom cannot be destroyed. We need to see this today. We must renew this eternal focus in the midst of the early earthly catastrophes, adversities, complexities, and uncertainties. We need this assurance that he is still on the throne and he is fully in control. We may not understand what's happening, right, with the ISIS, with the tsunamis, with the typhoons, yes, with the Ebola's, HIVs, and with the earthquakes, etc., etc. But we know that all these are heading towards the plan and purpose of God, which is to establish the kingdom of God here on earth. And you are part of that divine plan. You are, whether you like it or not, you are. The high priest of God, verse 13, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. This is an Old Testament description of a high priest. John sees Jesus Christ as the final high priest who brings all the OT sacrifices and temple rituals to an end. And verse 5 tells us how He washed us from our sins in his own blood. This great high priest is so great that by his personal sacrifice, he is able to put away sin once for all by his blood. Think about it. The whole world is dealing with this issue of sin or the consequences of sin. But here we have a high priest which has already done for us what we are not able to do. Oh, what a wonderful high priest we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Like Ancient of Days, verse 14, his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. The parallel passage is taken from Daniel chapter 7, verse 9, where the whiteness of his hair corresponded to that of the Ancient of Days, a reference to God the Father, as just mentioned. John is describing the Son of Man in terms used of God himself. Christ is God himself. He has the same purity and eternity as God the Father. Christ is deity. He is God. And if he's God, we must worship him. We must bow down and worship Christ. Don't wear a cross here and say that I believe in Jesus Christ. Christ must be in your heart. And if he's in your heart, it surely must affect you in your thoughts, in your words, and even in your action. It must be. Otherwise, you know, you're not hurting your brother or sisters in Christ. You are hurting God, the very God who moves around us, isn't it? We must change. And we must desire to do it. If you call yourself a Christian, then please, please, obey the word of God. And they are not grievous. They are not grievous. They are protective. Because God loves you. There's no point saying, I love you, Dad. I love you, Mom. You know? When back in your mind, you say, that's for consumption only. But you do not want to obey in your mind or in your heart. Yeah. And I speak this to the teens, okay? I speak this to the teens. Please remember, when you say you love your parents, and your parents gives you an instruction, please, obey them. Obey them in the Lord. Yeah. It is for your good. Obey, yeah? Obey. Okay, flaming vision, verse 14. His eyes were as a flame of fire. Wow, I you know, you have a problem looking at the sun? You have, right? You can't look at the sun, it's too bright. But if someone has come with a flaming fire, oh my, tabli tahan, you just can't look at the person. Okay. Christ has eyes like flaming fire. He sees everything. Nothing is hidden from his sight. Christ is not tired, is not burnt out or fatigued like parents. Okay. Indeed, his eyes are flashing with energy and hope. All right, his eyes like blazing fire also describe his piercing judgment of sin. He notices when you are a hypocrite. You said something, but you did another thing. He notices when you promised somebody to do, but you didn't do. He notices when you say, I will pray for you, but you did not pray. He notices, all right? He notices all your false promises. all your hypocrisy, all your falsehood, all your denials. He notices, he sees, there's no escaping from him. How about his other attributes? John saw much more. There are the brass feet, the voice like the sound of many waters, and the right hand holding the seven stars, and a sharp sword coming out of his mouth, and his face shining the sun in full strength. Obviously, John is describing the glorified Christ in his full glory and majesty, power, and dominion. Sometimes it's very difficult to read the Word of God without being affected by it. Yeah. You know? If God should point out pointedly to you that this is you, or you are like this, I do not know whether you have experienced this. I certainly hope you do. But to see God in his full glory and to say that, you know, I wish and I pray to be even a portion of that image, how glorious that would be. If you look at verse 17 and verse 18, all right, first and last, Alpha and Omega, that's our memory verse. Christ is the eternal one, the resurrected one, the living one, and he is the sovereign one. Why? Because he alone has the keys of hell and of death. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying to me, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." You know what's the most frightening thing for a child? The most frightening thing for a child when he loves the mother or loves the father very much is when the parents say, "I do not want to talk to you anymore." Why? Because straight away there is a separation between the two of them. And this absence of communication, you know, absence of affection, is one of the most cruel things that probably you can inflict upon your children. Yeah. But if God should stop talking to you, if God should say, "I have nothing to do with you, go away from my presence," do you know that if you do not see God, there is darkness? And indeed, that is to me the definition of hell. If you don't see your parents 1 day, 2 days, 1 year, 2 years, even 100 years, maybe that's okay. But not to see God for eternity, forever and ever, your Creator, I just can't imagine, isn't it? The timeliness of eternity, of separation from God, that is hell. Okay, that is hell. That God doesn't want to see you anymore. You have no right to come to heaven, go to darkness. That is terrible. That is terrible. There are two warnings, as far as I can simplify, in Revelation. One is that Jesus is coming back again. Yes. We celebrate his first advent. We know that he is coming back again. There'll be a day of reckoning. It says that when at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, is inevitable in God's program. The program is already rolling. The kingdom is being built. And more people are entering into this kingdom, are added. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the word of this prophecy, and keepeth those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. The time is at hand, right? His return is imminent, is sure. Number two, Jesus will judge human sin. A day is coming when the righteous God will ultimately deal with human sin and bring to consummation the salvation of those who trusted in Christ. All believers are exhorted to holy living, while unbelievers are warned of judgment to come. And verse 7 says, behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. You take a statement like that, and how not to fear. If you have been the soldier who pierced the Lord Jesus at his side, if you have been the Roman soldier who scourged the Lord Jesus Christ and draw blood from his flesh, if you have been the one who spit on his face and cursed him, the day will come when you will be resurrected. And God says, and Jesus Christ appears before you, say, did you spit on me? Were you the one who whipped me? And you, I remember, you were the one who pierced me on the side, and you were laughing. Wow. Can you take it? And you thought that you could run away from it. You thought you have escaped. Every eyes will see him. It's frightening, isn't it? To think that nobody sees and we can get away with it. And that is sin. There is no escaping from the judgment of God. Everything will be judged. So young people and old people, between the first coming and the second coming, we have a duty to do, and that duty is that if you are called to be a child of God, a son of God, all right, then obey God's commandment and behave like one. Not only that, you've got to tell people that Jesus is coming again, that Jesus is going to be judging sin. At the first coming, Christ came as a savior, give us a chance. Show us his grace and his love. At the second coming, Christ will come as judge and king. Yes. So as we end this year and enter into the new year, let us look at our Lord and see him clearly. We need to see Christ's solidarity with us in New Life BP Church. He is Emmanuel. That's the good news. God is with us, not against us. Your parents are for you, not against you. Right? Don't treat your parents as if they are enemies. Don't treat God as if he is your enemy. No, he is for you and with you. We see Christ coming among us to preserve us in the face of affliction. We see Christ coming among us to strengthen and energize us in the face of mounting pressures. We see Christ coming among us to give us wisdom to cope with the complexities of life and ministry. We see Christ coming amongst us to ground us in his truth in the midst of rapid social, political, personal changes occurring around us. We see Christ among the candlesticks, right? as the Son of Man with power over the nations and having everlasting dominion and glory. We see him as the high priest that has put away the sins of his people once for all. We see him as the wise Ancient of Days with flaming eyes that sees everything, and we see him as the Alpha and Omega, the eternal and sovereign potentate that has the authority over hell and death. Gaze upon the Lord Jesus. Let's do that in 2015. Let all that has come to pass, all that has happened before, cause you to give thanks for his goodness, mercy, and grace. The Lord has preserved you. The Lord has forgiven you. The Lord has used you, even in small ways, although you have been an unwilling or reluctant instrument. The Lord has kept you. And the Lord has brought you here for worship today. Let us give thanks. You will agree with me that 2014 for New Life BP Church has been a fruitful and meaningful one. By his grace and wisdom and power, the Lord has helped us. In spite of the various storms and crises we faced, our Lord has enabled us to come forth victorious, united, and stronger. I thank God on behalf of the session of this church for reviving us spiritually. All glory, all honor, and all praises be to him forever and forever. Amen. I just hope that after we have a glimpse upon the glory of Jesus Christ and the hope and the confidence that he is going to come again to receive us unto himself, and that he is growing a kingdom of which we are the subjects, we are his people, I just hope and pray that all this truth will fill you with confidence and hope in 2015. That therefore you built your life in 2015 not for yourselves and your family only, but you built your life and yourselves for the kingdom of God. I really like you to turn with me now to Revelation chapter 22. This is the ending part of the book of Revelation, but it contains with it some truths that are so powerful and mind-boggling. I think it's very good to end the year with these verses. And this is what I want you to do. All of us will read the last chapter. Chapter 22, from verses 12 all the way to 21. Are we ready? Revelation chapter 22, verse 12. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. Louder. Give every man according as his works shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers, and warmongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride said, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. He which testified these things said, Surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Wow.